Principles for Effective Pastoral Eldership. At the end of Psalm 78 and verse 72, Asaph, the psalmist, talks about David leading Israel with skillful hands. And that's what we've been talking about. Just by way of review, we've talked about what it looks like in shoe leather to love God's people and be constantly improving in our service to them. So we've looked at five words. We've looked at an elder must be available, he must be visible, he must be responsible, a sense of responsibility for the folks he's serving. An elder is compassionate, and an elder will be seeking to create an atmosphere of love in the local church. We've also talked about the importance of being gentle and patient, to be an encourager, and to be tactful. Number five in your outline, and I cannot emphasize how important this is for a leader in serving God's people. Be hospitable. And so closely connected to loving people is opening the doors of our homes in hospitality. Never, brothers, underestimate the power of hospitality to show love and concern for the people we're serving. So let me encourage you to use your home for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, in our hyper-busy society, hospitality is almost a forgotten mark in the Christian lifestyle today. It's very, very busy. We live in a hyper-busy society, and many of our churches are examples of lifeless, loveless, inhospitable Christianity. We say goodbye in the back of the foyer, and we don't see folks in our local churches until the next Sunday. And worse, they are examples of outright disobedience to the clear commands of Scripture. Did you know that the commands in Scripture about hospitality are just that? They are hospitality commands. Speaking of hospitality, Alexander Strauch says this: "We are missing a valuable jewel in the crown of Christian life and service." He considers it so important, he calls it a jewel in the crown. And so hospitality is closely associated with encouragement. Hospitality is not an option. It is a Christian command. And it's almost, what's interesting, if you study this in the Bible, it's almost always found in the context of love. So loving people will include showing hospitality. This is so important. Listen to some of the scriptures. And in Romans 12, 1, the Bible says, pursue hospitality. In 1 Peter 4, 8 and 9, practice hospitality. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2, not to forget to practice hospitality. So let's look at some verses regarding hospitality. 1 Peter 4, 8 and 9. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Notice the connection, keep loving. And notice the next phrase, since love covers a multitude of sins, now watch what follows, show hospitality one to another without grumbling. Love is connected to hospitality. Here's another one. Let brotherly love continue, Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue. Now notice what follows in the same verse. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Love and hospitality is connected. Romans 12:13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek, key word here, seek to show hospitality. And by the way, beloved brothers, elders, leaders of our local churches, Titus 1:8, this is not an option. To be hospitable is one of the requirements to be an elder. And shepherding work is selfless work. There is much self-sacrifice involved in caring for God's people in a spiritual way. But listen, the great enemy of the shepherd is selfishness. We're all born this way. Our selfishness, me, my concern. And Paul recognizes this, and so he says to the Philippians in Philippians 2, 20 and 21, he says this, "For I have no one like him," he's speaking of Timothy, "who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare." Now watch this. This is a sad verse. "For they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ." Beloved, in serving God's people, we are to put their interests above our others. And a good way to do it is through hospitality. And hospitality, granted, it's hard work, it's self-giving, but it reaches people. Listen, something magical happens in our home when we show hospitality that will not happen in the back of the church in the foyer. Hospitality is self-sacrificing work. People know this, and they respond to love. You have people to your house, and you'll notice your relationship with those people will change. Again, something magical happens. Hospitality is a mighty tool in building real community in the church and for helping people get to know one another. Hospitality helps break us out of the Sunday morning churchianity, where we say hi to each other, and then through the week, we don't even know what they're doing, we don't talk to them, we don't see them until the next Sunday. And so our love for one another shouldn't end at the back door of our local church. Yet, tragically, most Christians today neglect the ministry of hospitality. Listen to what Eugene Peterson says in The Unnecessary Pastor. It says this, "Rarely in my travels do I find congregations that are seriously committed to be genuine community." That's a sad commentary on our hyper-busy society. And so as leaders, beloved, leaders in our faith communities, we must lead by example. We must seek to cultivate a deep, affectionate love for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'll tell you what, it is impossible to do with the 1 or 2 hours that we see each other during the week. We must open our doors and invite people in and minister to people. Now, let me, in a very practical way, let me give you a list of people that you could think about having over. These are just examples. How about this? Students that are in your town studying in universities that are away from home. Okay, that's one. How about the elderly who live alone? When you go to church, look around. Think about who's elderly here that's going to go home and eat alone? Or an older couple that really doesn't have kids that live in town? Look out for them. Have your radar on for those kind of people. How about this? People that are new to your church. Show them that you're a loving, caring church. My wife and I have this practice on Sunday morning. We get out the crock pot. My wife's very good at this. She'll put on something. We don't know who we may be inviting that Sunday, but somebody's coming home with us. The crock pot's ready. We just set the table and boom. This is a wonderful way to minister to people. Here's another one. People who are suffering. And you don't have to do it just on a Sunday. It could be a Thursday night, any night of the week. Young people that are needing help, that need mentors. And you're going to benefit from it as well. Let me just tell you this. It's the best way to get to know people. Also, it will help you parents with your children. When my wife and I lived in Ecuador, we had missionaries, national workers, itinerant ministers constantly at our table, and our children were always there, and our children would listen in on these conversations. And I believe my children are better people today because we had a table filled with servants of the Lord that they got to hear their stories and things like that. So it's a marvelous tool also for evangelism. So my suggestion is to seek to have anyone in your home who may never have been in your home or people in your church that are unknown to you. Martin Luther said, there's this quote that I heard, and Martin Luther said this, and I believe it's so true. He said, "I've done more for the kingdom of God around my kitchen table than I ever did in the pulpit." Now, I believe that's true. I'm a preacher at our church, but sitting down one-on-one and sharing a meal does much more, I believe, in a person's life than a dozen sermons will ever do. So use your home. Open the doors, brothers. Now, number 6 in our outline. Now, this is a tough one. Be a prayer leader. An elder must be a model in this area. As church leaders, beloved, we will never rise above our prayer lives. As elders, think about it. Our work is mainly a spiritual work. And the most important aspect of our lives is that part that only God sees. And I believe that prayer is the highest activity of an elder and probably the primary test of his actual spiritual state. We can all, you know, project an image, a public image, but what really matters in an elder's life is what's going on in his private life. Listen to the words of Andrew Murray about prayer. And I find this key. You may have heard this. Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach, only how to pray. To know how to speak to God is more important than knowing how to speak to man. Not power with men, but power with God is the first thing. What a quote. I think you would agree with that. You remember what was said in 1 Samuel 12:23. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should, watch this, sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Beloved, when we do not pray for the sheep that we're serving, according to this verse, that is sin. Yet a consistent prayer life is, I will admit, it's one of the most difficult things to sustain in our hyper-busy society. Let's be honest, prayer doesn't come easy for most of us. So let's look at some verses real quick and see what the Bible has to say about prayer. Colossians 4, 12 through 13. Listen to this. Epaphras, who is one of you, is always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. Did you catch that? Here is a servant of the Lord. He doesn't just have his quiet morning devotional prayer time. He struggles in prayer for the saints. Verse 13, I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you. Ephesians 6, 18, Paul, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Colossians 1, 3 and 9. We always thank God when we pray for you. We have not ceased to pray for you. And then Acts 6, 4. Now this is key for a leader. We get a little example of what was the priority of the apostles. Acts 6, 4. But we will devote, notice that word, we will devote ourselves to what? To prayer and the ministry of the Word of God. Listen to what Oswald Chambers says about prayer. This is one of my all-time favorites. Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greatest work. Beloved, as elders, prayer is our work. Hudson Taylor was said to move people by prayer. He said, we must go forward on our knees. A praying elder, beloved, is a caring elder. And what a wonderful thing it is for a church to know that its elders are praying. Let me give you some real quick suggestions. Use your church directory. Open it up. Divide your church directory into 7 days. Pray for every person on a certain day, for everyone in your church. It's also a good way to get to know people's names and memorize them. As an eldership, be aggressive to get the prayer requests of the people in your local church. And let people know you're praying for them. Here's how you get prayer requests. You can simply put prayer requests in the pew. You can ask for them. Have prayer requests, time corporate prayer. Seek to improve corporate prayer time as elders and make this a dynamic part of your elder ministry. Here are some ideas. Have a prepared prayer list. Number two, be a prayer facilitator. You can break out into small groups. Two or three elders pray together. Make sure you say amen. Don't fall asleep during your prayer. I know we're busy. We get tired. Seek to have a vibrant time of prayer. Pray short prayer requests so people don't go to sleep. I've heard, I don't know if this is true, but I've heard that the longest prayer in the Bible was 3 minutes long. One of my heroes, Robert Murray McShane, says this, if the veil of the world's machinery were lifted off, how much would we find is done in answer to the prayers of God's children? My dear brothers, I cannot stress enough the importance of maintaining a consistent prayer life. So what have we seen? In our outline, skill with people. We love people. An elder is available, visible, responsible. He's compassionate, and he seeks to create an atmosphere of love. He is gentle. He is patient. He's an encourager. He's a diplomat. He's tactful. And what we've seen today, he is hospitable, and he is a prayer leader.